Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? To die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Our text thus far. From Adam and Eve to the people of Israel to you and me. Nothing ever changes. We despise the blessings that God gives. In fact, we're so focused on all the negative things in this world that we can't see the blessings that we do have. Think about it. Adam and Eve, they had perfection, right? God placed them in this big, beautiful garden, created literally the entire world for them, and it was perfect. They lacked one thing, the knowledge of good and evil. And they wanted to be like God, and so they reach out and they take the fruit, and sin enters the world. It wasn't enough for Adam and Eve to have perfection. They wanted more. The people of Israel, well, they had a sign from God. They say they loathe this worthless food. They sort of have this weird sort of inconsistency. There's no food and water, and yet we still loathe this food over here. Well, they're talking about the manna and the quail, the food that would miraculously was provided for them by God, right? In the morning, the manna would be on the ground like dew, and in the evening, the quail would fly into the camp, and they'd be able to take as much as they wanted. I mean, for a day anyway. And what's wrong with this? Well, it's not enough. God, we hate the food you give us. Even your miraculous presence with us, it's not enough, God. Which brings us to us, you and me. You and I, we've been given the means by which to access God's grace. We have the Word, we have baptism, we have the supper. And yet all too often we come to church and we go, is that all there is, God? That's all there is to Christianity? Just the Word, baptism, and the supper? There's got to be more. You know, we look for something different. We want something more than that. And yet, the same thing happens with earthly blessings. God has given us the clothes on our back, the food we put in our mouth, the air we breathe. He's given us everything we have. And yet we go, Lord, there's still more that I want. Because when we don't get exactly what we want, when we don't get exactly what we want, we act like toddlers. Right? We whine, we complain, we grumble against God. All the stuff in the world, God has provided. And yet we still want more. Me. More for me. We're black holes of consumption. And the truth is that even if God were to snap his fingers and go, here, you have it. Everything your heart wants at this very moment, you have it. I guarantee you, you would wake up tomorrow and there would be something else that you want. Because that's the way we work. That's the way our sin works. We always want something more. Well, in our text for today, we see how God deals with grumbling, with complaining, with despising the blessings that he gives. God himself sends serpents to bite the people of Israel, to kill them. And in essence, he's saying this, right? If you don't want my blessing, that's fine. Here's my wrath. Taste this for a change and see which one was better, right? Is it the wrath that's better, or did you like my blessing I was giving before? It teaches us ultimately that even God's people will sometimes fail. Even you and me, we sometimes fail to see God's blessings for us. And so this text continues. It goes, then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And so when God's blessing, when God's promise is not enough for us, sometimes God gives us what we would call tough love. Right? And we never want to make it there. It's sort of like a last-ditch, sort of drastic effort to wake his people up. And so he sends these serpents. He goes, all right, I love you too much to let you go on grumbling and complaining and not recognizing these blessings. You need to snap out of it. And so he sends his wrath. It's sort of like, you know, like you spank a kid. You know, you discipline children. The reason you do that is to wake them up, to help them to realize that what they did was wrong. And so when faced with God's tough love, when his wrath is manifested in these snakes, what do the people do? Oops. We screwed up, God. We spoke against you. We spoke against the guy you sent us, Moses, who is actually just speaking your word to us. We spoke against all these people. We should have recognized how you graciously provide for us, because now we got to deal with this snake problem, and that's not good. And so where do we find them? But they start to pray. With Moses, they pray for a solution. And so this wrath, this sin problem that caused these snakes to come, it turns them back to God. God, help us out. Bring us out of this calamity. Bring us out of this problem that we've created for ourselves. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. God hears their prayers. But he doesn't answer the way they want. You know, it would have been perfectly within God's power, again, to snap his fingers and make the snakes disappear. Another miracle, right? The snakes came by a miracle. You know, God sent them, and God could take them away in an instant. But that's not what he does. Instead, he gives them salvation from the serpents. Now, no doubt many looked at the serpent, right? Moses puts the bronze serpent on the pole, and a lot of people went, okay, God said this is the way we're going to be saved. And so they look, and they're saved, you know. But they're still bitten. The snake still comes and, you know, latches itself onto their arm or their leg or, you know, wherever. And they got like this snake like dangling from them, and they're like looking at this pole like this hurts, but don't let it kill me. And others, I'm certain, for whatever reason, probably took their chances. I can outrun these snakes. Maybe I'll grab my sword. Maybe I'll fight them off. Or maybe they didn't trust Moses' words at all. If I'm going to be bit, I might as well just say my prayers and give in, because no way is looking at that bronze serpent going to be the anti-venom for whatever's inside this snake. Those are the folks who don't trust God's promise. But those who do, those who look at the pole, those who see the serpent, they are saved, even as they're bit, even as the snakes sort of slither around their ankles, sort of making them cringe and, you know, waiting for that hardship, that bite to sort of sink in. But they had to suffer still. And really what it teaches us is that all calamity, hardship, sickness, sin, every, you know, death, everything in this world, it's our fault. We are sinners, and the result of sin is hardship in this life. And God isn't going to magically snap his fingers and make it disappear. That's not what he did for the snakes. That's not what he does for us. You know, we might pray to God, and we might ask him to remove some sort of hardship from us, but that doesn't mean he's going to. And in fact, as we learn throughout Scripture, that we should expect hardship in this life, that our hardships are reality. Everything we have to go through, it stinks, but this is the way it is because of sin. And in essence, you guys are all standing there. You know, anybody who's gone through a hardship, or even if you are going through hardship now, you're standing there and you've got a snake hanging from your arm. You've been bitten. You feel the effects of sin in your body, either emotionally or physically or whatever the case is. You feel it. And it's no fun. No fun to get bit by a snake. It's no fun to experience hardship. But in the midst of hardship, instead of taking away the pain, instead of removing the repercussions of sin, God gives you salvation. This is what he's promised you. He has promised you life in the midst of hardship. Salvation in the midst of pain. Because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And friends, we're not going to get away from it. Hardship is a reality in this world. But God does give you salvation from it. He lifts up his son on a cross so that Jesus can bleed and die for you. Now some, they might try to run away from their sin. That sin will never catch up to me. But then eventually they make it to a point in their life where they're staring death in the face and they have nothing to look at any longer. Some people will try to fight their sin. I can conquer it on my own. I'll just work really hard and eventually I'll be able to overcome my sin. I won't commit it any longer. And then there are those who just flat out don't believe that their sin is any big deal. But no doubt you and all the Christians in the world take a different stance. Jesus is lifted up on the pole of the cross, and you gaze at him, and you believe, and you live, both now and forever. Even as the hardships in life are dangling from your arms, even as you experience all of the stuff that our sin has brought upon us, you look at the cross. And Jesus promises that you are forgiven. Even in the midst of this hardship, I will still take care of you. And in fact, I have taken care of you by sending this Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Not only to die for you, but to live for you. Because this is what Jesus does. He gives himself into death that you might gaze at his sacrifice, that you might understand the love that God has for you, even in the midst of hardship. My friends, today you have a promise from God. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. Because Jesus has been lifted above the earth on the cross. Believing in him, you can be sure that you too have been saved, even in the midst of sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.